Hey guys, your favorite blockhead has some very exciting news. I want to let you guys know that your favorite blockhead is now a proud member of the Yogi's Podcast Network. YFB is proud to bring you more content from my friends Mike and Toria over at The Nightly Rant. So you can follow their shows on the Yogi's Podcast Network, which will include Peeling the Orange, which will deal with all the issues in Orange County, The Nightly Rant, Liberty Revealed, and even one of my favorites, the Elite Podcast Academy, where you can learn everything you want to know about being a professional podcaster, be able to reach more people and give your influence, even work on monetization and on podcast notes, you name it. This course will walk you through how to be a better podcaster. And your favorite blockhead is always very blessed to mention his membership with the Dose Leprechauns Podcast Network. You can find those links on the show, and you can always find Dose Leprechauns on iTunes and on YouTube. That being said, what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Blake, thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. We finally have our 10th guest that has shown up for the Blockhead Hour today. We've gone through 9 of them, and number 10 has finally joined us on this platform. I'm super excited to finally have him on. But before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Five Finger Tees. I personally recommend the Great Pumpkin Believer t-shirt, but you guys can go to my link in the blog page today for the podcast. You can click the link and you can look at some of the best t-shirts on the market that are pop culture inspired and ridiculously funny, and they will not break the bank. And when you get to checkout, Blockhead's going to have a small little discount for you. When you get to checkout, make sure you use the promo code 5OFF. That's all one word, all lowercase. FIVEOFF. You put that in at checkout, Blockhead just saved you 5% off of your purchase from my friends over at Five Finger Tees. One way to support the show, I'm also going to include my Patreon account and my Ko-fi accounts. If you decide you want to donate to the show, give a $3 tip here and there, those are going to be included in the blog page as well. If you want to support the show that way, I thank you so much, guys, for being on this journey with me. Now, finally, this gentleman I have to introduce to you today, this is a man who has been on the gridiron. This is a guy who's been in the gym. He's been getting it done. He's been bringing it to you every single day. He is a force to be reckoned with in Instagram. He's known as Chose Me on Instagram, and I bring him to you today, joining me on the Blockhead Hour, your one and only, my friend, Mr. Tevin Neeson, as in Big Tev. Big Tev, what's going on, man?
Yeah, what's going on, my boy Brian, man? I'm telling you right now, I ain't gonna lie to you. You just gave me chills, man. An introduction, you wasn't gonna tell me it was gonna be that powerful, man.
Well, you know, yeah, to be fair, we've actually had several interactions in the past. I'm not gonna reveal the demographics on where you were or the geolocation on where you and I were, but we met in the school district, and I remember there were a couple times, I have to apologize, because you've gone through a couple of different last names that were on record, because we had one student that, this was beautiful, I have to share this with my friends. As he's coming down the hallway, I got a student of mine that starts singing To Be Cute. He starts singing the Old MacDonald theme. And almost on cue, the kid sings, Old MacDonald Had a Farm. He gets to, it is perfect timing, E-I-E-I. He takes 2 steps off, turns around, and goes, no. It is one of the funniest things I ever watched in the hallway for education, man. Still remember that to this day. So if I butchered your last name, I apologize. But I know you as Big Tev. And Tevin, just having you on gives me goosebumps in response, too.
Absolutely, man. Hey, I can't imagine the time it took to get this going, man. I know we've been talking about it for a while, but like I say, it's all worth it in the end. That energy right there, that's why I think we kind of hesitated so much. We knew it was going to be a big deal to us. So I appreciate you having me on, man. And yeah, let's get this thing rolling, brother.
Definitely. I mean, you've got your footprints that are going to go into the podcasting world. You've done pretty well in the world of Instagram, and we're going to expand your horizons just a little bit. Now, as I've got you, the first question I really wanted to ask is just because a minute ago I did a video that was talking about how I was a bit disturbed by how there's supposed to be a longevity in MMA when we look at these middleweight titles, when we look at the heavyweight championship, when we look at boxing, the heavyweight championship that was so coveted for so long, and nowadays it's more like a, who can I get that I can get a draw from? And I'm trying to ask this from an athlete's perspective. Since you're an athlete and you've been watching many sports, you're well-rounded and diverse. My question is, has that perspective also carried over into things like professional football or into other sports that you've seen? Instead of trying to attain the championship ring, are we just trying to be a bunch of guys who get a big paycheck and be able to live lavishly? Because it seems like that's poisoning a little bit of the water in MMA. Are you seeing that and as a, that perspective about championship rings, like getting a Super Bowl ring, aren't a high priority with other guys that are athletes? Or is that just something that I'm seeing just in MMA?
I think it's something that's going on just in MMA. All sports seem to go together anyway in some kind of way. They all come down to some type of basic principles, you know what I mean? Some type of foundation. I for sure do see the trend that you're talking about, though. And in my instance, I'm kind of an old school ways type of person, man. I don't feel the trend, to be honest. And it has been because of, well, what I see trending now, period, is just we all want what we can get immediately. We don't want the things that take, and we know and we realize the thing it takes to be championship level, whether it's in sports, whether it's the championship of life, whatever it is we're chasing. We see that it takes a consistent grind, the dedication it takes to do it, the integrity it takes. It's so easy to just find a different route and see what's going on. What can I grab right now? So with that being said, obviously, yes, it doesn't happen overnight. You can't make big numbers by not being a great athlete or doing whatever it is you're doing. Obviously, you've got to be good at that. But in order to be the greatest or in order to be that championship team, those things, whether you're playing peewee football or you're playing at a professional level, those things come down to very core fundamental basics that you got to knock down. And so what I see with what's trending right now, and like you say, MMA, let's say MMA, for instance, in general, let's say just only, as we know, we're talking about Instagram as well. Let's think about what the media does alone in order to do that. It's so you can have everybody have direct access to fighters that they like or whatever. So they could be maybe, we could maybe be getting a mix of, temporary fame that we want, you know, in the own fighter's eye. He may be successful to the world because everybody's feeding him with all this good, good, good. But, you know, it's easy to get this amount of money rather than to bust my tail and really have to grind in order to be the next whatever it is I was chasing. You know what I mean? It's temporary fame out here so much in all the sports, you know, to where we're all kind of getting a little, well, it seems the athletes are getting a little bit, you know, I can say selfish to a extent is necessary, especially when it comes to, you know, you're realizing your value and what you owe to this. I mean, what you give to the sport.
Sure.
And with the numbers, especially financially, that they give to the sport. That's one perspective we have to look at. But I think in one sense, we're also getting so washed up with that idea to where at the end of the day, as much money as you're making anyway, you're making a tremendous amount of money. Are we really going to be, you know, so worried about how much or is about, you know, the impact that we have on the sport, the people that we're dealing with, and just, the, you know, basically the other half, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's what I'm getting at. Everything you just shared is spot on with what I'm saying. From an athlete's perspective, again, there's got to be a point where you go, okay, stop thinking so short-term and start thinking long-term, especially when in an athlete, you can end up having an injury, you can end up having a life-altering circumstance where that gets in the way. And that needs to be heard more, Tevin, what you just shared there. Now, only to shift it one other way, we don't want to leave somebody out. I want to make sure we talk about those who are living a selfless life, and that's the coaches that people deal with on any level. But sometimes I notice that there are some coaches that can reach all your players and get them on the same level of whatever sport that you're part of, you know, and because you got kids that are from different backgrounds, different neighborhoods, different socioeconomic standings, that happens too. Some of them are absolutely masters at working with human relations, and sometimes there are some of them that straight up make things worse. So there is a positive and negative that happens inside of that, inside of a coach's world. So I guess while we're talking about that, while we're in the locker room, do you have some stories about those or any testimonies that you've seen, maybe some that are good or bad, that any of the Blockhead Nation probably needs to hear from that side? Because I don't have that many from inside of the locker room, but you do. What could you share about that with us?
Well, first of all, I do think that when it comes to being a coach, period, I think the one thing that's also made myself hesitate from doing it is because I think the ones that separate the great ones, you know, from the typical ones that just jump in line, are basically the perspective. Like basically the same question you're asking me, mm-hmm. I would say it's all about perspective, because a lot of the great coaches that I had, and speaking on testimonials or whatever you want to say, all the coaches I've had have somewhat molded me, whether for the better or for the worse.
Sure.
And with that being said, let me see, compared to the great coaches I had, the thing was, and I think they can relate, they know how to find that common ground between mm-hmm. athlete and, you know, professional life. It's a personal life, actually, I have to say. The great coach I had, Phil Castles, in high school, thank God he was a part of my life, because not only did we go far in what the world saw as far as us going to the state semifinals, doing one of the first things been done, and we had all the athletes, all the things there, but what made us a great team was the fact that our coach knew how to help us align. Basically, he knew how to give us the perspective to where we all had been in similar positions before. He made us bond outside of football, to where we all knew similar backgrounds. There were times where, like you say, you could have the richest, and I'm not to say no race, you could have the richest white or black kid on the block, and you can have the richest white kid or black kid or Hispanic, whatever culture doesn't matter, over here. But I guarantee we would all find ways that we related. We would be in positions to where, not just on the field, we got into positions and got into things involved outside of the field to where we had to go through similar struggles together. So we had no choice but to have empathy towards each other, and to really feel like, you know, when our backs were against the wall, we could lean on this person or we could lean on that person. And believe it or not, when you have that type of chemistry with your coach, with your teammates, or whatever organization you're in, whether it's sports or not, when you have that sense as a coach to put yourself in that position of the student, of the kid, of the child, of the athlete, whatever it is, when you can get into their position and you have a different perspective and you're not one-dimensional, you know what I mean? That's the main thing that made us all feel so comfortable about just initially wanting to come to practice, first of all, wanting to play as hard as we can for the game. You can have a guy that's doing all the basic things right, but you may not want to play for him because you may not feel like your side or your perspective is being heard, understood. You know, so that is the greatest thing. With my team in general, we went through the ups and downs. You wouldn't be able to tell any different from the coach when we lost a game or when we won a game. The same expectations were set. The stableness that we worked on every single day in practice throughout our everyday actions, and not only practicing, I'm talking about character points. I'm talking about things that he gave us things to stimulate our mind outside of sports. And that's really what made us start realizing that this pertains to life. You know what I mean? And when you do that and you get that pressure off your back, this is a sport that I have to perform so well at, and you realize that, yes, this is an outlet for my life. You know what I mean? That becomes a lot more easier to play and do naturally, and you get more out of people when they can do that from a natural state rather than being, you know, pinpointed down on like that for the success of others. You know what I mean? So that's why I feel like when you can get the true natural state from kids, no matter what background they came from, kids most naturally can't help but to relate to each other anyway. So that's the best team I've been on, and that's why that was the best team I've been on. We learned each other.
Nice. I just got goosebumps hearing all of this. That I love just the talk of the chemistry, because again, that might be one of the missing elements that we need to hear more about, is just knowing how to get that, and also a guy who's consistent like your coach was. That's uplifting. Now, to bring this in a different direction briefly, is just because now that I have you, you and I have been friends since we first actually started working together in and outside of the school districts. But I will tell you that in a way, one reason I wanted to have you on the podcast was because you actually changed my perspective, challenged it in a positive way, but also kind of molded where I stood. Because I'm going to take the listeners back for a second. Some are going to know what I'm talking about. And if you decide you want to click off of this podcast, I understand. But then again, I'd appreciate it if you actually stuck it out and heard it all the way through. Because there was something that happened not too long ago, and all I got to say is one name, Colin Kaepernick, that started a movement that started to have the kneeling. Now, when I first saw this, from my own perspective, I went, that flag represents something to me as a veteran. That represents so many people who came home with that draped over their casket. And when finally, even though I wanted to have that moment, you and I sat down and discussed it, and we had a little bit of debate with each other, but it was in a way that made me rethink everything about it. So from the time that it happened and to where we are now, can you take my listeners through what the actual intent and the motive was behind the kneeling for the national anthem, and what negatives and positives that you've seen that have come out of that. I want to hear your perspective. Go for it.
I just wanted to come and make sure that we were all coming from a neutral position. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I never, in anything that I deal with, I don't like to, I try to stand for what's right, period. You know what I mean? And so from that being thought about, when we did approach the topic of the kneel, I know initially, because as humanly people, that's what we do. We immediately look at the situation. And like I said, it all comes back to if you have never had, if you can't change perspective, or you can't happen to, you know, level or find that common ground, then this will be way over your head from the jump. So the point is, I was just coming from a neutral perspective, meaning, okay, well, let's look at all this backlash that's coming on for him taking the knee. And let's just for 1 second think, what about how he feels and do you have the energy and the you know, integrity it takes to take that knee yourself? He must have really felt something about some type of way and really wanted to bring something to the attention if he really did that, willing to throw his whole career down the drain.
Yeah, true.
And, all the good things. So it basically came down to this. I have a grandfather, and with the same person that I'm talking to right now, you are a vet. So I 100% respect vets. Look at my shirt I got on right now. This coincidence.
Right. There it is. But the representation.
The only thing I wanted to basically get people's perspective on was to think about the other side. Okay, what was he kneeling for? It wasn't generally to disrespect vets in any way at all. I feel like in his perspective, he/we, whether you say blacks or whoever is being, you know, whoever the injustice was going on towards, was just trying to bring attention and awareness to the obvious problem that was going on. And
sure.
It was only one problem that he directly was trying to bring attention to, and that was the injustice of police officers killing unarmed black individuals, whatever it was. And it wasn't even just that in general. It was just the injustices of his people in general. You know, they're going through a lot. A lot of things were being touched on to where he felt like, and I feel like it was a very bold move for him because of the fact that being on that type of platform, man, you have to do what you do first, and that backlash that comes with it. I mean, I can't imagine all the things that happened with that whole, you know, backlash and whatnot. But what I'm saying is it's such a hard topic to just touch on without saying too little or too much. I just know for his main perspective, and my main perspective was, okay, this is a necessity. This is not something that has been toyed with. It was a very understood issue in the world. I mean, in America, period. It was very understood. And just the fact that he brought light to it and people were beginning to, you know, give all type of negativity or backlash, I just wanted to be somebody different, sit back, look, and try to grab, okay, why exactly are you mad?
Sure.
Are you mad because you think he directly was, you know, offending vets in general? Well, listen to some of the things he had to say. He had an interview at the end. He had an interview, you know, he had interviews about similar topics prior to the situation. So at the end of the day, we can say I directly wouldn't have done this or I wouldn't have done that. But at the end of the day, you know, he put himself to be in that position to be judged like that. And he did it to bring light to a bigger topic, in which I do think today, as of today, and I'm not even saying it because just coincidentally this past weekend, the lady Amber Geyer was arrested for what she did. But this is not to be an eye for an eye. This is not something that wants to turn into a movement of this is retaliation. But in react to what you're saying, I have been seeing somewhat of a change in things. You know, at that point in time, it was very high on every media you got on. You could see something going on. Somebody passing here, dying there. I mean, at least if I can say that alone, the traffic has been brought down. The awareness to the topic has been brought down. And a lot of acts are being worked on in order to, you know, help futuristic problems that come on to that. So with that being said, and he still is not with a job, and he's still carrying the same, he still has been working on the same campaign that he started from the jump. That's just, in my end, I just feel like that's respectable, you know, as a person in life, because I don't know very many celebrities or whatever you want to call them, athletes, in a position that he was in that would be willing to give that up like that whether you believed him or not, he knew he was taking a major loss for something that had nothing to do with just him. He's not out there getting shot. He's not out there going through any problems. He just had perspective and empathy towards something that was much bigger than him, and he just asked to be looked at. And this is the way. Now, I don't agree with everything he did. There probably could have been a million other ways he could have did it, but we're just dealing with what's handed to us right now. That's how he did it. And I personally do think that it may have been taken a little overboard for him not to have a job at all anymore, as far as that. But at the same time, he knows what he was getting into. And when you're touching with topics like that, dealing with NFL or any other major league like that, obviously it's a big issue. I mean, it's something that still to this day somewhat needs to be, you know, handled. You know, but just the fact that it's in the air, I just, you know, I stem away from just the natural response to what happened.
Yes.
I don't like to go with just what's going on. And plus, I very much so love, like I say, to be in a different perspective or be able to understand some of, you know, the things you may have thought about that I could understand. They directly offend you. And then my grandfather being in the house, he was speaking on things that, yeah, you know, I can see that. And he was also from an area of neutrality because he loves the force. He wants me and he wants to this day for me to get into the, you know, to the force. But like I say, if you're coming from a sense of, you know, a sense of understanding or just empathy or just different perspective towards the whole situation, there's always two sides to the story. And I just feel like, you know, it was a good thing he did that, man. It was good for America. Good and bad, but, you know, whatever's necessary, it happened.
Right. That's kind of where, at this point, where I stand at this and where we are now, from that time until this point, I have to side with you, Tevin, because when you look at it, is that that was not, even though people might look at that as distasteful, whatever it might have been, you have to understand that he is not threatening or harming anyone at all. He is actually practicing his First Amendment right in the Constitution. Yeah, and you know that. And the thing is, as a veteran, as a person who served in the military, I did put my freedoms aside so that people can participate in that. The first thing it says in the Sailor's Creed is support and defend the Constitution of the United States. That doesn't mean I get to participate until my time is up and come home, which, you know, I can now. But in the position I'm in now is that I'm actually teaching kids, because I've seen some who have been trying to forcefully make somebody in the classroom, I'm not going to say where I saw it, trying to make a kid stand up, and they were being forceful and trying to, and I walked over and I said, this kid's okay. This one's with me. As in, you know, because you can't, that kind of debate, that kind of evolving, proactive side of the democracy needs to be going on. We need to be having these discussions. We need to see that the First Amendment was not being violated by this. Whether you find it distasteful or not, it wasn't. Somebody who would actually lash out in hatred or in violence, you become the problem. It can be seen as a type of civil disobedience, but it doesn't hurt anybody. There's so many stories of civil disobedience in American history. That's part of our story anyway.
I do to this day feel that great kings, queens, leaders, you know, whatever you want to call it, they act on their true integrity. They act on their intuition, and they make moves, you know, in order to do what they feel is right for them and not only their people, but just in general what's right. And what I was going to say is, when you brought up that perfect point now about the fact that he was not very, it's not that he was not that he did it harmfully, he didn't do it out of anger, he didn't do it, he literally made his move. And I think, like I said, a lot of us, We have things that we do, and we occupy our own lives by tuning into somebody else's life anyway. So think about this: a lot of times we don't even know how to assess situations or problems until somebody else either boldly does it or makes a wrong decision. So for the fact that he did it as a leader, and he went full fledged with his decision, I thought that was major, because, like you said, it was not harmful, and basically, it was almost like, wow, you know, it's almost like when they say you react to something with good, you know, somebody goes off and you just hit them with some good, hit them with a compliment,
sure,
with, you know, you outweigh the bad. It's almost like, you know what, I'm just going to take a knee right here, and I'm just going to bring the attention to this right here. And I mean, he did the most simple thing in the world, but he could have went over here and went to this under the NFL and had this long lash out about why we shouldn't stand for the NFL, why we shouldn't this or that. He made his decision, himself, for himself. You know what I mean? But it was for a much bigger picture. That's really what I respect, you know, because like I said, it's not harmful, it didn't hurt anybody directly. But for people that don't understand, okay, well, if you are offended, well, just take the time to realize, what are you really offended about? and try to figure that out. You know, what exactly you're offended about, or do some of your research, whatever it is. But if you could say, well, there's a lot of things that go on in this world that we can say, I just dislike, and I can't have a reason for, you know, I just don't like that, and it's not right now. It's not right in the world. But it's because you don't like, you know, it's just a bigger picture, man. It's a much bigger picture than itself, and I'm glad he did what he did. Whether it was him or whether it was anybody else in the world, it don't matter what the physical characteristics look like. The fact that that was done now, to me, seems to have addressed at least somewhat the topic at hand. You know what I mean?
There you go. And even it's actually scriptural. I mean, it says to overcome evil with good. It doesn't say return hate with hate. And that's, you know, what Willis wants to do and want to do on impulse. And yeah, that comes down to, I'm sorry to break it to you, and me coming from a veteran, I'm going to say it. God is not a flag. He's not even American. Now, do you honor your American do you honor your American virtues? Yes, you do. But last time I checked, anything that it becomes an ultimate thing in your life is an idol. So there you go. And to crush the idol, it might be. And if that offends somebody, you got other podcasts you can listen to. But I'll bring this into this right here. I'm going to take it full way. There is in Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He talks very much about being proactive. And I've always believed, Tevin, that you're a very proactive type of person, whether it is on social media for a good purpose, or if it's for being in the gym, or if it's being on the gridiron, and in many ways, you are a very proactive person. I've always seen that, and I stand by it. So what has been some of the philosophies or the actions or the daily habits that you got that keep you being so proactive? What is part of your drive that you can share with the listeners as we get into this part?
Man, I love the fact you asked that. The point is, that last thing you just said, what is my drive? That question alone has been asked to me a lot of times in my life. And the fact that that has been asked to me is a major reason why I continue to do what I do. First of all, because it's just not common. So when I get up in the mornings, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm some perfect human, because obviously I have my flaws. But when it comes to what boosts me and what gives me my motivation, what gives me my goal to be proactive, it is just my struggle. Basically, when I get up, I just give myself self-affirmations. You know what I mean? You can talk to yourself and you hear yourself every single day. You hear everything you say. You see everything you do. Regardless of nobody else does, you know how you feel about whatever it is. So what I'm saying is, if you're the source of your happiness, if you're the source of your productivity, whatever it is you do, it all comes from your actions, your mental stability, your, you know, everything you're putting into yourself. Well, then I just make sure from the jump, I at least shift my mind mentally, physically, and spiritually into a place to where, all right, I got this. Like, I'm going to be my biggest fan today. You know what I mean? When I get up, there's times where I immediately, my mind rushes so much, and I feel like people that put their mind in this position will start getting attacked. Not only mentally, physically, but spiritually.
True. Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, you got to just be embracing the fact that this is, I don't mean to sound like a motivational speaker right now, but this is life, man. Like, this is not as basic as you think it is. This isn't a wake up, go to work every day, go up here and do this. You're not your bills. You're not your situation. You're not your, you know, you're not the things you go through. You're not your struggle. So what I say is, I get up, I give myself affirmations constantly throughout the day. When I come into different, problems that I come up with, normal problems that people go through, the first thing I do is try to think of a different response to this. Embracing my reaction and respond differently. Now, the way you respond, I feel like, is what continues to make who you are. The way that you say, I'm a gym, aka gym rat, gridiron on the field, you know, school, whatever it is going on, I'm active, and that means active, like I say, all these things in perspective, mentally, physically, spiritually. So my physical, that's what I've been blessed with. A lot of people are blessed with something else, but my physical nature has been my blessing throughout life. I played ball, you know, I've done the whole, the lifting, I've done the just running in general, everything that comes with fitness, I've blessed with. But the point is, that's my alleyway in order to keep my mental stability going. So I'm productive in life, meaning, like, I try to plan for myself. I try to plan things in my life, not have to be exactly pinpoint, but I plan to be productive. So if I have a in my mind, I'm telling myself, I want to get out and get in shape. I don't see why you have to have a gym. I don't see why you have to go directly to a trainer. I think it's as simple as walking outside and finding the beauty in your struggle. So if you only knew how many times I had to sit back in my own dorm room and use the instruments that was in my room to do my workouts, I had to use motivation from, oh, I'm pissed off about my classes not getting done. Let me just How can I channel the thoughts that I'm going through? All right, let me put it into something productive. Let me go walk. Let me go, let me go work on something that's going to benefit myself. So sure. That is really what it all comes down to, I feel like, is the core of your individual. I work on my character every day. To be honest, it's not about how many muscles I have. It's not how good I am at this sport or that sport, how good I can talk. It's how good I feel comfortably with myself about myself. So when I wake up in the morning, like I say, I'm not going to be given another body. So I pretty much choose to embrace my struggle, embrace what's around me, my family, my friends. And I feel like that mentality alone, God will do the rest, period. If we want to tie that, if you want to tie, whether you're spiritual, whether you're religious, whether you're not, the point is, if you think it simply goes down to what you put into, you get out, well, then think about that. When you wake up in the morning, your mind is your idle mind. You don't have anything to do. You don't get up and do anything. You have nothing but time for things to sit on your mind and muster up. What's the first thing we think about? Negative stuff. You think about what could go wrong, what could go bad, what may go over here, instead of just going. So if you start your day out by putting yourself first, feeding yourself with positive thoughts, doing positive things, a.k.a. I love to say physical, because if you're doing something physically positive for yourself, you don't really even have much time mentally to think about the negative. You know what I mean? And I feel like in the spiritual world, we don't too much control the spiritual world. I think those things kind of come naturally to you as you ask for those things, as you aspire for those things, you get exactly what you're looking for. So if you're out here and you're focused on another person's life, or you're putting all of your time, energy, and effort into something that's not productive, whether it's a game, whether it's a media thing that you're not making money on, or you're whatever you pour your energy and pour your effort, time, and focus into, you will benefit from. So in my life, a lot of that time, unconsciously when I was young, was being pushed into not only sports, but just extracurricular activities. If you only knew how much I love things outside of sports, you would know a whole different Tevin. I mean, I love people that are handling basic fundamentals, a.k.a. getting up and going to work on time every single day. Do you know how hard that is to go somewhere on time and to present yourself the way you're supposed to have a bigger audience around you? Do you know? If people only knew, I admire things that you can't even see from other people. So what I'm saying is I would really highly encourage you to dig in yourself every single day and find the positives about yourself and find the negatives, because you learn from them both. You know what I mean? And if you start finding comfort in all the things that you do all the time, you find things that you only are comfortable doing, you'll never get to really reach that full potential. You know, so I love to craft and put myself in situations where I have to change a little bit. This person over here is one of my friends that he doesn't talk about these type of things. He's more productive, and that's what I want to more be like. So let me hang around him more. Let me get around this atmosphere where the negativity is not even accepted. You know, I basically just fully indulge my time, energy, effort, and focus into things that are beneficial. And when I don't put those things in the limelight. I work on myself as I need to work on myself, you know?
Thus, you're going to always be welcome in the Blockhead Nation right there. Everything, I hope people will go back and replay everything you just heard about being proactive from this man in the last 10 minutes that he's been talking. Guys, this is great, great material coming to you guys from this podcast, man. I'm super excited. And I'm thinking, man, we got a mic drop right there, but I still got two more questions I got to ask you. So the big thing I wanted to ask to end off, since we've covered a lot on sports, is I just want to see what your perspective is, and also maybe what other people can hear is why people do not listen to sports on mute. I've known a couple people that have said I do it, and I go, does that mean you watch it at all, or are you trying to sit back and analyze it yourself? Most people, whether it's if you're a fan of sports of NFL or NBA or even MMA, you know, you got greats like Mike Goldberg that was always yelling, and it is all over, you know, that would get people hyped up to it. You know, do you believe that one of the reasons why people listen to sports for the commentary in many ways is because the words matter, or because they're enthralled by the guy who's doing the job and doing it well? What would you think about people who pay attention to sports really for the commentary?
Oh, what I think about, man, if they're looking for just, I feel like the commentary is necessary sometimes, you know? I feel like it definitely adds, it stimulates different areas, you know, of the game that you aren't getting when you're just watching them fight. I mean, let's imagine you're sitting there just watching like the old, you know, the old times, whatever, you're watching their fight. And I mean, when something major happens, I mean, the commentators just boost the whole situation. It makes it, if somebody punches somebody in MMA or whatever, and they don't knock them down or whatever, or they do knock them down, that quick reaction, you know, especially for the fans, the ones that are fans of what good is going on, it just boosted the whole morale of the event. I mean, people that maybe are not into, oh, I don't like all that. I mean, those people, this is really hard to kind of hit. You know, that's all part of sports, man. It's all part of the ends, and that's what makes sports sports. If you could watch two people go out in the backyard and play football, or two people just do whatever, but that authentic feel, you know, getting the experience that you don't get to have when you're actually that you have when you're actually there or not, you know, it's just a lot of ins and outs. That it hits you're physically watching it, you're mentally into it, and then bow, and he just hits you with that boost of energy. I feel like energy is just so big in life, period. That when they just add, you know, they add effect, they add, you know.
Definitely. You know, if you can't be in presence of it, there's also something special to watch from the 50-yard line that the experts can share with you. So, yeah, definitely the emotion that comes with it. I believe that's part of it. And just the narrative that comes behind it all is very essential to that. So I just, if somebody listens to it on mute, I do have that moment of, okay, I'm just curious why.
You know, a lot of times the commentators don't talk about just the fight. A lot of times they talk about the fighter's background, or, I mean, what we're talking about fight here, but
that's true.
In general, they tell a lot of stories and they give you a lot of insight about things in the sport, in the person, in the whatever the athlete is. They tell you a lot of things that, you know, you didn't even have any idea about, or, you know, those things. There's been a lot of times I've learned about a player that came, maybe he was on the football team or a basketball team that happened to went to school right down the road from me, or I played against him in high school, or his mother, you know, may know my mother, or some. There's somebody. That's what's good about sports. Period. I mean, it all is the commentary was what we're talking about. But on the broad subject, I mean, sports involves all that. That is when you may not be actually on the screen commentating, but you're commentating on every single thing going on during the game when you're watching it anyway. You know,
right?
We just all have our own selfish ass little comments we want to make ourselves. And you know, there's people that get paid for that, just like there's people that get paid to watch, you know?
Exactly.
So, it all goes to sports, man. It's just relatable. It just helps it be more relatable. I feel like the commentator helps because of that right there. Strictly for that reason alone. Helps you relate more to the deal. Helps you to get more in tune with the game. You know, it just adds more emphasis to everything going on during the game. You can have your old heads that want it on mute. I understand it's a little too much sometimes. I understand how that can be extra, extra, extra. But, you know, touche. If you want to mute it, mute it.
I agree there. That's where you have your power. So I feel like you've already done your mic drops. You covered everything we have, Tev, and I'm just so thankful that you took the time to be here today. But I always give my listeners, if they heard nothing else from you, then there's always one last, I can give you an example. One guy had what's called the three do's and the three don'ts. He came on and did that. I had one that talked about how you really have to take, kind of like you said, you got to take care of yourself first. You can't help others up unless you're up. So he really focused a lot on physical health and eating healthy. But if there's one thing that the listeners could listen to that you'd want them to remember about you today, Tevin, what do you think that thing would be that would help out the Blockhead Nation?
If I had to pinpoint it down to one thing, man, I guess I would more say, do what's going to help you sleep at night, you know. Be productive with your life and do something that you'll be happy who you're doing it for, why you're doing it, where you're doing it, and just the big purpose, man. If you have purpose in your life and you find your purpose in what you're doing daily, you know what I mean? Basically, how they say you're never working, you know, life is going to be fun. So just pour into yourself, be proud about what you're doing, why you're doing it, where you're doing it, how you're doing it, and just make sure that you can sleep at night. And that's all that matters, your mental stability, your physical stability, your spiritual stability. You know what I mean? Take care of you. Ask for more and you receive more. But don't complain when you get more. All right?
Okay, there you go. You know, it's kind of like the biblical says, don't let the sun go down in your anger, but definitely, you know, be prepared for what you pray for. I love it, man. My brain is just on overload right now in such a good way. I hope, Tevin, that I have been the gracious host you were hoping for this platform. As we start to finish off today, guys, you can always tune into the show every Saturday. I always come in and do a show. It was nice to know that I can have my 10th guest of all time to come in. One other way you can help out the show, guys, is you can check out my blog page today. You can go to the link for Century Martial Arts. 40 years in the making, growing strong. Whether you are a black belt instructor, a fitness enthusiast, or somebody who wants to try MMA for the first time, when you go and check out Century Martial Arts and check out their online stores, when you get to checkout, make sure you use the promo code SAVE10. That's all uppercase, two numbers, SAVE10, on any that you want to buy, products that you have, whether you want to get yourself some MMA gloves, you want to purchase the Wavemaster, the Torrent, you want to get you some shin gloves, some shin guards, and you want to glove up, that's the way to go for Central Martial Arts, the best MMA gear on the market today. And Tevin, I thank you again for this time, sir, and I bid you adieu.
Absolutely, man. More coming from us.
And we will see you guys again next week. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel, and that is the way the cookie crumbles.